You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, the one that follows the triumphant Philly Record Freakout, February edition. Well, no, March edition. It was in March, March 2024, March 2. I got to see Sammy B yet again. It was a good time. Sammy B, thank you. If the listeners don't know. Oh, I also forgot. We got some cool mail that we got to read this week, too. I totally forgot about that. We'll get to that in a second. But anyways, so we had the Record Freakout. It was March 2. Sammy B was there. We had a whole bunch of other sellers. We always do it at the same spot at Philomoka, my venue of choice in Philadelphia, particularly since Creep Records got shut down yet again and yet again. One of the shows that I threw might have been the deciding factor in getting Creep Records shut down yet again. So anyways, wherever punk news goes, chaos follows. But thankfully, Record Freak Out was real cool. It was super busy, the busiest one yet. We actually had 60% higher turnout than our previous high at Record, which is real cool. I was a little, and we'll get into it in a sec. Well, I'm going to drag this out. Let me talk to Sam first. Sam, it was great to see you. Sam, did you have fun at the Philly Record Freakout? Did anything weird happen? Did anything strange happen? Or was it just a good time all around with a fantastic set list? Oh, and I want to read an email. We got our first the Philly Record Freakout, on Instagram is the record show run by Punk News. And by run by Punk News, I mean run by me. And by which, because I'm the one that actually benefits from it, not Punk News whatsoever. But I should, because I put in all the hard work and the risk. So anyways, we our Instagram, not that I really care about Instagram, but I care to the extent that I want to keep the Record Freak Out going. It's been growing and it's been having a good time. So we get a lot of interaction on Instagram. Well, no, I mean, not a lot compared to like Taylor Swift, but a lot for me, because I get like none, because no one cares about my thoughts on things. However, the Philly Record Freak Out Instagram is actually getting kind of popping. However, I got our first email ever with regards to the Philly Record Freak Out. And I'm going to read that now while Sam collects her thoughts about what happened at the Philly Record Freakout. So this is our first actual email regarding the freakout, as opposed to like, you know, Instagram reaction or something like that. So I'm going to pull that up right now. And while I'm pulling that up, you can always reach us at podcast@punknews.org. But I'm not reading the Punk News email. I am reading a Philly Record Freakout email. And this is what the email had to say. Just one second. I am pulling it up now. And this is the email from the Record Freakout email. And here's what it has to say. This is what it is going to say. I've got it right here in front of me right now. I will begin reading.
John, can you breathe? Breathe. Breathe, please.
Here we go. So after the freakout, I send out an email that says, hey, thanks for coming to the freakout. And the real reason I send out an email is to let people know when the next one's going to be. June 1, Philadelphia, same time, same place. This is from, we'll call him JD. John, so my email says, thanks for coming to the Record Freakout. The next one's June 1. John, you're spelled wrong. You are most welcome. I had a good time at the Record Freakout overall, but I'm probably one and done. And one and done are both capitalized. First of all, I thought the location is way too cramped for all the record heads. Secondly, there was very little of anything else but records.
Right,
I thought there was going to be a food truck. The DJ's music was good overall, but once again, it was too small a venue. I did grab a few albums and a tape, but the whole event needs to be more festive, from JD. Which, I don't know what he means by more festive. I don't know what that means, that the event needs to be more festive. I honestly don't know. What does festive mean? I think it means more like whimsical and fun. And I feel like the Philly Record Freakout is pretty whimsical and pretty fun. Otherwise, I don't know what festive means in the context of a record convention, if you will. But I was actually thrilled to get that, because if you're getting hate mail, it means that other people are coming and probably dig it. You know what I mean? Like there's definitely a ratio that, like, if you get no feedback whatsoever, then maybe people don't care. But if you're actually getting hate mail, it means people care. So I was actually kind of psyched to get that. And I thought it was funny. And I thought it was funny that the guy was mad that there was only records at the Philly Record Freakout. That's all.
Okay, wow. I would have to say, being a person that has gone to multiple Philly Record Freakouts, mainly to see John, mainly to get things off of my living room floor. So thank you to all of the people that has tried cleaning up my living room for me, because I really appreciate it. And it's the damn truth. It's a record freak out. It's going to be 99% records. I'm not sure if you're looking for crafts or maybe some Fat Mike used sex toys. I'm not sure. if that's what your intention was, that might not be there.
Was it festive enough for you, Sam? Was it festive enough?
I think it was very festive. I think your playlist was spot on.
Thank you. I thought so too.
Yeah,
And
like, you
actually, and we'll be thrilled to hear this. Sam, what was a song you particularly enjoyed at the freakout?
Oh my. So apparently I've been living under a rock and totally did not even realize that Scowl Has a Dance hit. And
Yeah.
it came on. Me and my husband Chris was like, what the heck? This is amazing. And wait, I think John, you came to me and we were doing the hustle.
Yes,
Was that?
I came over and we did the hustle to Scowl psychic dance routine.
So, it was,
Remix.
I think if anyone actually was around us during the time that John and I was doing the hustle, I think that's festive. I'm just saying, like, maybe
Is
one
pretty
corner.
festive doing the hustle.
Yeah, like, we were, yes, by the bathroom. So, yeah, that's a weird place for us to be, but that's where my table was. But we were doing the hustle. So there was some dancing, right? There was a lot of conversations had, a lot of dudes asking me if I had 60s rock music,
Oh,
which,
really?
yes, it was very strange because I had a lot of people asking me for like 60s music or music that does not, to me, sound punk, even though they, you advertised punk. Like, I think punk was like the second word on on your flyer. So, yeah, I'm not sure what happened there because there was like a couple guys. What do you have? And I'm like, contemporary punk from the 80s on to now. A lot of punk hardcore, maybe some emo, and some miscellaneous weird things that John probably took, but that's fine. Yeah, like things like that. I had a lot of that going on. I'm not sure why, but the cool thing was, for me at least, we had a couple people come up to us because we don't come to Philly often for this because, I live in Brooklyn and it's usually a trek for me to come down. So it is a damn treat whenever I see John G. I had a couple regular people come and say, "Hey, do you remember me?" And I'm like, "Yes, you bought that record from
That's cool. That's cool.
me." Yeah, so that was or they were like, "Oh, I was looking for you." And I'm like, "Me of all people, me? Why would you look for me?" Maybe I'm very maybe people recognize me because I may be a female Asian in a room. I don't know, full of a whole bunch of dudes, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, no, I think it was splendid. It did get really busy, like crazy busy, John. I don't even like we
It was busy. It was crazy, yeah.
so, yeah, so Chris and I, we had like a plan for the day, and a part of the plan for my day, because we're human and we need to like eat, was to like order food sometime around 1 or 2 o'clock. That's when it got really busy and I couldn't order food in or eat. So thank you for throwing a pretzel at me because I had something to snack on.
Quite welcome. Quite welcome. Everyone that sells at the Philly Record Freako gets one free soft pretzel per person.
Yes, that seems like a very John G trait these days. Because the first one you threw at me, like many moons ago, I was like, "What is this?" And then the second one, I was like, "Oh, this makes more sense." And then the third one, I was like, "Ah, this is the thing."
The reason I did it, I started doing it at the very first one, at the very first freak out, I didn't know if it would be a success or not. And the first one was a success, but it wasn't like crazy. It's been getting busy, busy time. But as I said, well, people are getting there early, they're going to be grumpy, so I'll give everyone a pretzel to ease their grumpiness, but also it's hard to be mad. Like, if it was a horrible disaster, like no one showed up, it's hard to be mad at a guy giving you a soft pretzel. So that's why I like it. And so it's been a suffering person to him. So,
well, I don't think anyone would be mad at you. You threw, like, you've been throwing.
Have you read Punk News, Sam? I mean, Sam, have you read Punk News? Everyone is angry at me.
Okay, John, that's a different story, okay? Like, I don't think anyone in real life, in front of your face, when you're throwing a record, you know, flea market thing, would be mad at you. Like, you know, you've coordinated so many of these things, and it's, you know, a damn treat whenever you do. So June 1st, you should all be there. Some, if you live in the Philly area, and go see John, because I'm not going to be there. So sorry, you guys. You can't clean up my living room floor on June 1st.
But Sam might be there in the late summer or early fall. Hopefully she will. Sam, always a blast to see you and talk to you and hang out. Always a true joy. And we're also here with M. Moore. M. Moore, are you coming to the next Philly Record Freakout from Canada?
That would be really cool. I don't have anything. I don't have records. What I'll do is I'll go to like the thrift store and buy them out and bring them all, because I'm sure there's something in there that's kind of fun and cool. I saw one the other day, and it was two guys in kilts, and they were just singing like Scottish classic tunes. So I'm sure someone would love that.
That seems very festive.
See? Exactly. Yeah. That's what he means. There needs to be more bagpipes.
Yeah, I think you need that.
I'm just going to Google what festive actually means, and then we'll read up on YouTube. Festive, no, it's festival.
Wait, so should we, like, play, like, holiday music, like, Christmas music? Like, isn't that festive? Like, you know, what? Oh, my God, John, you should do Christmas in July.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would technically be festive, and if people complain, we can say it's JD or whatever his name's fault.
That's an idea, Sam. That's an idea. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll call, well, the next one's June 1. Maybe we'll call that like Christmas in June or something. Or maybe we'll throw a show and call that Christmas in July. I like where this is going. Festive. Relating to a festival or cheerful and jovial. Cheerful and joviality.
That's jovial.
No.
Joviality? Joviality.
Yeah,
joviality.
Cheerful and jovial, celebratory. Oh, I see. Cheerful and jovial and, I don't know, whatever. We all know what we're talking about. Anyway, so the next week record freakout will be June 1. It's going to be rad. Come on out. Here's an email from the Punk News email. You can always use that podcast at punknews.org. I always forget to say it, but here's actually a pretty cool email. We got from, not JD, but from JB, or maybe JT. JB or JT. John, I've been away for too long. My loss and regret. I got to finally looking your podcast up again, and I'm effing happy you're still doing your thing. And you added a female voice. Awesome. I'm in Texas now, but I'll be in Detroit in a month. F the haters, dude. 10 years, and I've never once understood the hate. You're carrying the banner. Please don't stop. And that's from JB or JT, one of the two. So there you go.
Woo!
Yay! There's female voices!
Female voices on the Punk News podcast. And this is from Caleb, and here's what Caleb has to say. How many members of Sublime does Sublime have to have before they're no longer Sublime? I think he means how few can they have? And
zero.
Well, let's talk about that right now, actually. So Sublime, you can always use that podcast at punknews.org. So Sublime, so there's two Sublimes right now. There's Sublime, which is Jake's original members, Bud Goh and Eric Wilson. And there's also Sublime with Rome, which is ending this year. And just before the announcement of, I guess what we'll call, I'm going to call it Original Sublime, but it's not really Original Sublime. Just before the, we'll call it New Sublime, Sublime with Rome was saying that they're going to do 1 year and then end the tour. And so I thought that was kind of odd. And we even talked about this on the podcast, because that means Sublime with Rome is going to be touring at the same time as Sublime. And so I thought that was kind of weird to begin with, because usually when you have like two bands with the same name touring, it's usually because they hate each other, you know, like they broke into, like, you know, Flag and Black Flag, or there's like two Christian death bands, or even three, or there's like two Sham 69s because they hate each other. Here, it's not a question of people hating each other. It's a question of Eric Wilson and Bud Gow realizing, oh, we can make a lot more money with Jacob Noah than we can with Rome. And so it's time to put Sublime with Rome down. But I mean, maybe they have some sort of contract with Rome. I don't know. But if they don't, then it is kind of cool that gave Rome a whole year to kind of get his stuff together, you know. But here's where things get weird. So new Sublime is touring, of course, with Jacob Noel, Bud Gow, and Eric Wilson. Sublime with Rome is touring, and I'm like, that's weird that like Bud Gow, no, Eric Wilson is in two Sublimes at once. Here's the kicker: he's not. Sublime with Rome has no members of Sublime. It's Rome, Joe Tomino, who's been in Sublime with Rome since Bud Gow left, Brian Allen, of course, Gabriel McNear. Sam, who's Gabriel McNear?
Please enlighten me, because I don't know.
Trombone player from No Doubt, and also Tegan and Sarah. And I'll never forget, I did like a short interview with him once at Punk News years ago, and I'm like, oh man, like this is Gabriel McNear, man. He was in early No Doubt, Tegan and Sarah, and he did a bunch of other stuff. And everyone was giving him like nonstop hate. And I'm like, of all the people, hate Gabe McNair. I mean,
why would you hate a trombone player?
I thought it was cool that he had been in all. Like, I think he might have played with Neil Young or something. Like, he's played in all these different acts, and maybe even like Joe Strummer. And I thought people would be psyched about that, and they just hated him, and I really didn't understand why. Anyways, so Sublime with Rome is Rome, Joe Tomino, Brian Allen, and Gabe McNair. I don't know, and they're doing a full year of touring. Actually, they got a lot of tour dates lined up, about 40 right now, maybe even 50. They're probably going to have some more by the end of the year. I guess the first question is, if you could only see one Sublime, which Sublime would you see? And I think everyone's going to have the same answer. B, is it weird that Sublime with Rome – I mean, the joke used to be that Sublime with Rome only had 33% original members of Sublime, but it has 66% of original members of Sublime with Rome. But now the joke is Sublime with Rome has 0% members of Sublime and only 33% original members of Sublime with Rome. So is that weird? Or like what is Sublime with Rome at this point? I mean, obviously, it's a money-making endeavor, which is fine. But is there any point to seeing it at all? I guess. And will they do Sublime songs or just Sublime with Rome songs? Sam, take it away.
Okay.
Oh, and I forgot. I saw Laura Jane Grace last night. I meant to talk about it. We'll talk about that after Sublime. We got
yeah.
Jamie B, go ahead.
So, if you were to ask for my opinion, I would go see the new Sublime, not Sublime with Rome. That is just me. I did not care for Sublime with Rome. I would rather hear Sublime do Sublime things, especially since Jacob sounds like his dad. Yeah, why not, you know? The fact that there is like no original members in this, I think the reason why they're still billed as Sublime with Rome is because Rome's still in it. It's probably like a trademark thing, right? Like, you know, they definitely cannot take Sublime because they're not Sublime, but they could probably take Sublime with Rome because Rome was added to Sublime or whatever in order to be Sublime with Rome. So if Rome is in the band still, I know this is like
I feel like Sam's doing like there's a chicken, an alligator, and a goat on an island. You need to get them to another island, but you can only put two in a boat at the same time. The alligator will eat the chicken, but the chicken will harass the goat. You know, how do you like? I feel like it's a logic puzzle.
Yes, this is totally like a logic puzzle for me. Yeah, so I think because Rome is still in this band, then the name has Rome in it, then, you know, that's why they're allowed to continue. I don't know who has the trademarking of this name, but
I'll tell you right now, you keep talking, Sam, I will look up who has the trademark for Sublime.
Yeah, so look that up for me. Yeah, so basically, they're letting it go, Rome is taking it, fine. I will not see this tour. There's no way in hell I'm going to see this tour, and there's no way in hell I'm probably going to listen to this, like, last final single, because I just don't care enough to do so. I do think it's pretty nice that, like, you know, they have almost, like, a million tour dates. And they're co apparently coming to Pier 17 in August, and I'm definitely not going to that because I'll be out of town anyways, but I'll make sure I'm out of town. But I this might be like one of those like, hey, this is our last hurrah because we cannot continue this. So we'll just make this last as long as possible so that we can make some money off of it. Yes, this is totally like a chicken goat egg situation in my brain right now. I'm not even sure. Emma, do you have any opinions on this?
I just think it's really, really, really funny that it's Sublime with Rome, but it's really just Rome with a bunch of people.
How about what, and would you go see Roman Gabe?
No.
I would
You
go
would?
see Roman. I mean, if I got nothing else going on and the price is reasonable, I would go see
Yeah.
Roman Gabe because I like Gabe. And well, yeah, everyone kind of says that Rome's actually kind of a dick. I don't know that he is, and it might not be true. But I would go see Gabe. I would go see Gabe and anybody if the price was right and I didn't have anything else going on. So I would go see Roman Gabe.
Well,
Roman
the
extra no.
right price.
So who do you guys think owns the Sublime trade? The interestingly, Sublime with Rome is not registered. Who do you think
No.
ha who do you think who has registered the su many of the Sublime trademarks? Because they got a bunch of different logos and stuff. It's not, it's going to be a little surprising, but not that surprising.
Oh boy.
And surprisingly, they didn't register the Sublime trademark till 2008, which blows my mind.
What?
Wow, that's late.
Yeah.
That is.
And one guess, who has registered the Sublime trademark?
The Noel Estate.
Good guess. Sammy B, who do you think?
I would think it's the Noel Estate.
Good guess. Jake and Troy Brand LLC, which of course must be Jake Noel. And I don't know if he's got a brother, Troy, or who that person is. So
Ooh, okay.
interestingly, I guess maybe not that interesting. I guess it makes sense in that Sublime appears to be owned by the Noel Estate and not Brad, Bud, and Eric, which is a little surprising to me. Or actually, we can't necessarily infer that from the trademark. It could be that the Noel Estate owns the Sublime trademark, but the Sublime corporation or LLC could be split between the three members. Or maybe Brad Noel does own Sublime because he founded it. If I recall correctly, wasn't like Eric Wilson's dad, an attorney or something. Maybe
I'm
you guys
not
don't know.
sure. I'm not sure, but like usually when you do like trademarking, it's usually licensed under one person or an entity, correct?
Right, and the entity that is, that it's registered under is Jacob Noel's company,
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, there could
which implies that Jacob's company owns Sublime, but that's not necessarily the case.
Well, again, there could have been a contract, right? Because that could
Sure.
happen that, says that, whatever royalties or usage is permitted, it just as long as you are in Sublime.
Whoever filed this trademark, they didn't know what they were doing. They put first use December 31st, 1992. Sublime was using those marks in like 86.
Oh.
Anyways, I'm sure the listeners don't care about that. They don't really care about John sticking it to other attorneys as a sort of peacocking type thing. Anyways, listen, man. I mean, I don't know Rome. I feel a little bad for him, but I don't feel that bad for him. He had 10 years, and it kind of took off, and it didn't. Sublime doesn't owe Rome anything beyond that. If you ask me, it's pretty cool to let him do a final year. Now, he might have a contract or something that says you must have me in Sublime, and maybe they work something out, you know. So at any rate, I think it's a little weird, but I would go see new Sublime, although it's never going to be the same. And so I think, I guess the last question is, do you guys think Rome's going to sustain any measure of fame going forward, or do you think this is it for Rome?
Don't think it's going to be like widespread fame, but I would have to say that I'm sure there's people that loves Rome for whatever reasons.
Well, let me interject there, Sam. You're right in that Bad Fish, the first and biggest Sublime cover band, makes way more money than Sublime ever did while Sublime existed. It's literally like $60 to see Bad Fish. Although I'm sure the resurrection of Sublime is actually hurting. Think about this. I'm sure the resurrection of Sublime, new Sublime, has now hurt Bad Fish's economic prospects, you know? So it's amusing that the band they're tributing is now taking away from their ability to earn money. That's funny, isn't it?
Well, the other thing is this, we're not sure what the intention of Sublime is. I don't know if this is just going to be like, a one series of things that they want to do thing, or they're going to continue to tour. Badfish seems like they've been doing it for like ever.
Yeah.
So, but this might also be supplemental, right? Like, if Sublime is only going to go to certain cities, but
True,
Badfish
true.
is willing to go to like some cities that like no one ever goes to, like Allentown, PA.
True, true.
Then like this might actually work out for the two of them.
True, true. Very wise, Sam. Very wise.
I
I guess
try.
last question that we'll move on. And Sam, is there any cover band that you want to see? Like, do you ever want to go see? Not, I know Chris Barrett, Sam's husband, is in a 90s cover band. No, so I'm wrong. Not cover band, tribute band. M, is
Tribute
there any
band.
tribute band that you want to see?
Tribute band. Nothing comes to mind right off the top of my head. So I'm gonna say no. I'd have to really think about that. What about you guys?
I don't think there is like a tribute band that I'm like dying to see. Like, I know there's like I know there's like boy band like cover things, like they'll do like boy band brunch. That's what I
Oh.
would do. Like they'll just sing like 90s boy band stuff while I eat French toast. That I'm into, but like most of the bands that I love, like they're still either active, or if they're not, they're just so punk that they're never going to get like a tribute, like a huge tribute band out of it,
I definitely want and have to seen one tribute band, and there's one other I might want to go see. The one that I have seen and would definitely see again would be Triumph of Death, Tom G, Warrior of Hellhammers, tribute to Hellhammer. And the other one, I kind of want to see like Australian Pink Floyd or Blue Floyd or one of these Pink Floyd bands, because I'll never get to see real Pink Floyd. And it might be cool to see them do like all of Dark Side of the Moon. Although I have seen Roger Waters, the biggest dickbag in music. I have seen him do all of The Wall, and it was freaking awesome. I've never seen David Gilmour. I think his touring days are over, and I really wish I went on the last tour because apparently he was crazy good. But anyways, I might go see like a Pink Floyd tribute band. Anyways, last night I saw Against Me, not Against Me, I saw Lord Jane Grace with Matt Patton, not Mike Patton, Matt Patton, and Mikey Yarga on drums. Opening was Dikembe and one of Em Moore's favorite bands, or not favorite bands, but bands she likes. Not Sheena and the Nosebleeds, the Sleaze. What's that band? The Sleaze.
Thelma and the
Not
Sleaze.
Thelma and the Sleaze, yes. And they opened.
Cool.
And so I don't know how I can phrase this. First of all, Mikey Yergs is an awesome drummer, and he sounded great, man. During the show, Lord Jane Grace, in pure in standard Lord Jane Grace style, I was annoyed by Lord Jane Grace. Lord Jane Grace, she says, "Let me tell you how this came together. About 10 years ago, there were some people very interested in making a Laura Jane Grace Mikey Herb collaboration happen." And I'm like, "Can't you just say punk news, Laura? Can't you just say it?" I was really annoyed by that, because I mean, and actually, and I'm coming across as kind of a dick and even desperate, but it was my idea. I'm the reason it happened. I said, "Let's start a ridiculous campaign where Mikey gets elected to Against Me." And I started the campaign, and I got like something like 10,000 signatures and mailed in the large Jane Grace. And I did a Mikey Erg on the campaign trail, and the whole time people were like, "This is stupid. You can't get elected into a band. It's not an electable position." And I'm like, "Yes, that's the joke. We're trying to get someone elected who that's not an elected position." But honestly, I am thrilled that it has come to fruition, and I'll just have to put my own pride aside and say I'm glad that it happened. I did see Mikey briefly, and I felt like he blew me off a little bit, but that's all right. Even though he's playing a punk new show on July 27, that's all right. Listen, I'm not in it for the fame. I'm not in it for the kudos. I'm in it for the art. I'm not really an Against Me fan, and I'm not really a Large Jane Grace fan. I'm not a hater. Well, actually, I'm a little bit of a hater, but that's just because Large Jane Grace tried to beef with me online a couple of times. Even after I interviewed Large Jane Grace and said very nice things. But that's all right. I'm not holding grudges. And so, anyways, I'm not really a fan, but I will say this is, it's not really my style of music, but if you are a fan of Large Jane Grace or Against Me, the tour is kind of a must-see tour. Large Jane Grace and Mikey and Matt, they do all of Lars' brand new album, which honestly, like if you like Against Me, I think a lot of these songs are even stronger than a lot of later day Against Me songs. Then they do a couple of brand new unreleased songs. Or not then, but during the set, they do a couple of brand new unreleased songs. And they do like 8 to 10 like Against Me classics. And the entire place was like singing along and having a really good time. And you guys know me. I love special concerts and that like kind of like a one time only thing or a unique collaboration, such as Sturgeon backed by Crazy in the Brains, or Mikey Erg doing All Ramones July 27 in Philadelphia, or the Joe Jack Talcum Band doing All Ramones July 27 in Philadelphia. I love special kind of like limited run things where it's maybe it's not like the normal band, but it's kind of in a way better because it's a special thing. It's only going to happen once and has something of a unique sound. And the Large Jane Grace show, I felt was very much that way. It felt like, honestly, though, it felt like the band was really tight and they were really into it. And I almost wonder, like, we're going to talk about Against Me in a second, but I almost wondered, like, maybe the current Large Jane Grace band is so good. It's only three of them. I think Large Jane Grace is usually a band of four people, I think. But the current three-piece band is so good, it might be delaying the re-rise of Against Me that's ever going to happen, which may not be a good bad thing, because I know like if I went to see like let's say I went to see the Melvins and they had a special lineup, like not the usual members, like some different members, and they did all of their brand new album and then some unreleased stuff and then a couple of hits, I would be absolutely blown away. So if you're an Against Me fan or a Large Jane Grace fan, it's a really cool show, and that it's the entire brand new album, which when a band is bold enough to do that, I always appreciate it because it's kind of cool, and then a bunch of kind of unexpected and some classics, and it's got honestly like it's got a pretty cool vibe. Plus, Mikey is honestly, I really think Mikey is elevating the band, and Matt's doing a great job. So, if you're a fan, you definitely should go. So that's my comment on seeing Large Jane Grace live. Oh, and during the show, Large Jane Grace mentioned that they've got a brand new EP with Mikey and Matt coming out. Five tracks, and it's going to be called Large Jane Grace and the Matching Medicals, which I think is like a reference to a shoe or something. I'm not exactly sure what that reference is, but that's what she said during the show. And so I thought it was cool. And I guess the question I'll throw out is Against Me over? And M and Sam, I don't know how big of an Against Me fans you guys are. I'm not, like I said, I'm not really a hater, but I'm not a big fan. Is Against Me Large Jane Grace? Or is Against Me specific people? Like, the Dead Milkmen, Joe, Rodney, Dean, and of course now Dandrew. And if Joe's not there, it's not the Dead Milkmen. If Dean's not there, it's not the Dead Milkmen. If Rodney's not there, it's not the Dead Milkmen. But the dwarves, for example, it's Blag and maybe Rex Everything, maybe Mark Diamond. But if Mark Diamond's not there, it's still the dwarves because Blag is there. If Rex Everything's not there, it's still the dwarves because Blag is there. So like Against Me, is it Lara Jane Grace? Or is it Large Jane Grace and so and so and so and so? And do you guys think Large? You guys think Large, Against Me will come back, or maybe Against Me is not needed now that Mikey Erg is powering the ship, as it were.
I am a fan of Against Me, early Against Me. Early Against Me brings me back to me and my friends being at my best friend's pool, just screaming about pints of Guinness while we were pretty much underage into the ether of Staten Island. so yeah, I think I think Against Me is War Jane Grace, but I do think that Against Me is done for the most part because a lot of that, the songs were like, teenage angst and like a lot of the things that, I'm not even sure if Laura Jean Grace, believes in anymore, or maybe she does. I'm not sure.
Wait,
It also,
say again, Laura Jane Grace doesn't believe in what exactly?
just maybe those songs anymore because,
Oh,
she's moved past it,
right.
because Against Me, like a lot of it was like, teenage angst and, fuck the government and stuff, yeah, so I'm not sure if Against Me will ever come back, or if they do, then maybe it'll be like a one-off type of thing, maybe for Fest, because I do see that potentially happening, because it's I do feel that Against Me and Fest goes hand in hand, for at least me, for a time of my life at least. I think that Mikey Erg being added to the band is a great thing. Mikey is fantastic in anything that Mikey does. Even solo, like I've seen him solo a handful of times and or behind the kit. It's doing Erg stuff, right? Just this is going to be a great collab, and I'm so glad that John, you preempted this a million years ago with a petition that I probably signed for no apparent reason.
Where's my credit, Sam? Where's my credit?
Well, I'm giving you credit because you did do that and maybe plant a seed for someone. I'm not sure. Like, I even though it was totally a joke, because yeah, you definitely cannot vote people into bands. Actually, wait, hold on. Was there a vote? Don't you kind of have to like vote people into bands sometimes? Like, if you're like looking
Actually,
for a member?
you actually bring
Ooh,
up a great
true.
point, Sam, in that like if a band is a voting band, then you great point. You do have, I guess the members have to vote, but they have to vote someone. But sometimes bands are like one person. Like no one gets voted into the Danzig band. Danzig says you're in or you're out. You know what I
It's,
mean? So there's no
yeah.
voting, you know.
Yeah, like exactly, like but like kind of like if you're looking for a guitarist because your guitarist left, right? And then you're doing tryouts, right? Doesn't like yeah, doesn't their members and or maybe some very close-knit friends that probably sat in practice or whatever, I guess a hiring committee, like if you're getting a job, like they would have to like weigh in and kind of like vote you in. I would have to say what you did with a petition is highly unusual. The fact that fans were voting people in, but I would have to say that the idea and the heart behind it was very sound because Mikey Erg is a fantastic human being. So voting Mikey Erg into most bands would probably be a good fit. Just saying.
What I will say is last night while I was watching the bands, you guys know the cover of Iron Maiden's not Shadow, what's Iron Maiden's Devil album called? I can't believe I forgot the name of it.
Number of the Beast.
Number of the Beast. You know the cover is the devil. He's got like strings on like a little human, but then there's strings from Ed Hunter to the devil. You know what I mean? That's what I felt like last night. I felt like Ed Hunter controlling the thing. I was like, I'm seeing if I can find the letter that I wrote to Laura Jane Grace years ago about Mikey Erg. I think I probably can't find it, but I will if I can. Em, what's your perspective? Is Against Me over?
Yes.
I just looked it up. Against Me hasn't released an album in 8 years. I thought it was like four. It's been 8 years since an Against Me album.
Eight
Yeah.
years. It's been a long, long time. I not even sure. Like Laura is just going to Laura, and Laura should Laura.
I think there might be something down the line. I think Against Me might come back. and do another album or like a live album or something, maybe an EP, at least one song. I don't think Against Me is done. I think there's going to be one more release, one or two more, and then they're going to be kind of finished. But yeah, no, I also think Against Me is Laura Jane Grace because like she's the heart of the band, and without her, you don't really have a lot.
But the
You know?
question is, does Against Me require like Warren or the other or any other person, or is it like if Laura Jane Grace comes out and says Mike, Yerg and Matt and Laura, that's Against Me. Is that a true Against Me or is that a fake Against Me?
That's a true Against Me, in my opinion.
Fair, fair, fair.
This also sounds like a Sublime question.
Against Me with Rome.
Yes. That'll be next.
Well, I would go see that Against Me with Rome, and so yeah. So anyways, let's see what else we have to talk about here. We've got Leftover Crack is back after about, well, really only about 3 or 4 years. The last show was at Punk Rock Bowling, which was the book release show for Architects of Self-Destruction, the Oral History of Leftover Crack by some writer. The book was really good. I forget who wrote it. And so Leftover Crack is back with a pretty much new lineup, Sturgeon and Tibby. But they released a song called Shoot Aside. It's off the upcoming album called Abandon the Precincts, which has current and former members of Leftover Crack on it, including the deceased Alec Bailey, who of course was the bass player for Leftover Crack and was in No Commercial Value, and sometimes was also in Choking Victim. The video for Shoot Aside is kind of a claymation type video, and it's got Alec in it as well, Sturgeon and Tibby, some other members. And I gotta say, man, I think this video is like a really, really. Oh, and also Leftover Crack is playing about 10 shows. I might fly out to LA to see it, maybe. It's in like 2 weeks. Maybe I'll go if I can get a cheap plane ticket. At any rate, I thought the video was super cool. The video was like claymation, Sturgeon and Tibby and Alec kind of like flying around as like these kind of Rankin Bass puppets, and they melt cops' brains with like the power of music, sort of. So I thought the video was kind of real neat, real clever, and it looks fantastic. Sammy B, what'd you think of the video for Leftover Crack Shoot Aside?
Yeah, it's very artful. I do like claymation. There was a lot going on here, I would have to say, but I would have to say it was well done. I do watch too much Robot Chicken, so this like falls in line with that. The song, I'm not a Leftover Crack fan. I'm sorry, John G, if I broke your heart. Oh well. But yeah, no, like the song, it's fine, you know, whatever. I'm probably not gonna listen to it, but yeah. And what did you think?
Oh, the video is cool. I liked the video. Claymation is really, really interesting. You can do so much with it. And it's one of those things I associate with like,
It also takes
good.
forever, by the way.
Oh my God,
Forever.
yeah, I know. We had to do something in like a media course, and it was wild. It was days.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Oh.
I didn't do claymation, but I did like kind of like a media flip book thing for art school,
Ooh.
and it took too long.
Yeah, like it looks so cool, and it's like all of the hours that went into that. Oh my God. All of the hours that went into that are absolutely insane. Like whoever does that and has the patience, especially for like the continuity and stuff. Oh my God, like hats off to them, you know?
Exactly.
It's amazing. Like watching full length like movies with it, like, you know, fleshed away and like Wallace and Gromit and all that stuff. It's like, oh my God, how did you do this?
Yep.
How did you do this for like, I don't even know how long this would have taken. Years. But yeah, the video is very cool.
I'm going through my email looking for this, and like going through old, you know, this is kind of like a new phenomenon. Like going through email is trippy, almost like a scrapbook. Like I'm finding emails, like it's kind of sad. Like emails sent to like people that are no longer here. Like I got an email chain where Britt Strummer and I are arguing who's better, Bomb Music Industry or Against Me. You know what I mean? Kind of sad. You know what I mean? So.
I miss Brit.
Well, sorry to bring everybody down. But hey, man, that's life. Here's something that's definitely going to make people happy. John Lydon is going on a North American spoken word tour.
Oof.
It's on the West Coast, and it runs all September and through October. I've got definite opinions, but and more. Would you go see John Lydon do spoken word?
No. Like again, this is my thing. I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast where it's John Lydon feels like, again, growing up, discovering the Sex Pistols, like all this kind of stuff, right? It's like he looks cool. He has like some great moments on stage and in interviews, and it's like, that's somebody who I can trust. And then after the whole Trump thing, then it's like, oh, holy fuck, I can't trust you at all. Like, you'd sell me out, you know? Like, it just, I know it was, I don't know, it just felt like such a betrayal and a flip or a flip of loyalties, I guess. So I don't think that I'm ever going to be able to see him as anything other than that, which really sucks. Like from kind of here on out, like looking at old stuff, it's like, well, that's divorced from the present. Like that's in the past, that's stuck in the past, like that's like frozen in amber kind of thing. So I can kind of separate those two, but it's also kind of like I wouldn't go see him now again, like before the Trump stuff. I definitely would have. But yeah, just no, I wouldn't. You guys?
I am not going to the West Coast to see him ever. I'm definitely not going to see him even if they came to New York. I can't even get the fact that he was on Masked Singer and as a
Oh,
jester
yeah.
out of my brain with the costume that he was on because it's literally scary and gives nightmares. Exactly. So, yeah, no, I'm no, John, no. What it takes, John? You seem very opinionated about this.
I agree that John Lydon, like coming out, like I thought it was ironic for like the longest time. I'm like, oh, Trump, oh, John, you rascal, you. And he was like, no, I really like Trump. It's like, oh, it's a huge
No.
bummer, man. It's like a huge,
Yeah.
it's a huge bummer. And I like what's frustrating about that is his whole thing, John Lydon's whole thing is, you know, being against corruption, about being honest, and about kind of doing what's right. Like at the core of the Sex Pistols, that's what it is. And Trump is so not any of those things at all. You know what I mean? And it was a real bummer that like John Lydon, like John Lydon is extremely smart, and it kind of baffles you that how can someone so smart make such a dumb statement? And I'm not saying he's got a, you know, hype for the other side, but hyping Trump is pretty bad, man. I mean, that's pretty bad. And like there's if you really parse it out, there's no way to justify it, especially now. Like, there's no way you can make any sort of argument as to why that's the correct or right or logical thing at all. Like, even from like John Lydon's, you know, destruction, chaos, anarchy standpoint, it just doesn't work. So it was a bummer. But will I go see John Lydon do spoken word? I would. A, because you know I love punk history, and I kind of just want to hear John Lydon talk about the kind of stuff. I do think he's a smart guy, although I think he's not quite as sharp as he used to be. And I would like to hear his opinion on things. And I don't, I, you know, when I go hear someone speak or go see a band, I don't need to agree with everything, you know, that they say. I think the Trump thing is pretty bad. But I guess what I'm really hoping is Lydon can redeem himself. He could say, you know what, I said that was stupid. You know, Trump sucks, you know, and I see that he sucks now. And I'm John Lydon, and I'm back, John. I'm back to being the hell-raising chaos team that you want me to be, John G. I'll be like, oh, John, you're the man. You know, will that happen? Probably not. I do like, I do like and respect that John does look at things from all angles, and that he doesn't just go along with the crowd, and he doesn't just pick a team and stay with that team. He's against teamism, if you will, if that's a word that I just made up. But I gotta say, I think he made the wrong call with the Trump thing, big time. And I'm hoping, I still respect him. I think he's totally wrong and it's kind of stupid there. But I would definitely still be interested in hearing what he has to say, and maybe he can redeem himself and kind of walk back on some of those lame things. So
Well,
yeah.
this is billed as untamed, unscripted, and uncensored. So this could be 110% cringeworthy.
Oh yeah.
It could. I mean, honestly, like if it was a train wreck, it's still worth going to, frankly. You know, I'm not going to fly to the East Coast, but I'd love to see a West Coast, I mean, an East Coast thing. Because he lives out on the West Coast. So we got one or two more stories. Ween has canceled all of their April shows, but their shows in August and September are continuing to go as scheduled, including the Philadelphia show where they do all of their iconic album Chocolate and Cheese. Why were they canceled? Dean Ween, the guitar player, issued a statement. For the majority of my life, I have been blessed enough to have a career doing the thing that I love the most. The privilege has never been lost on me. The fact that the music reaches other people and means so much to them is something that I've never taken for granted and for which I am truly grateful all the time, every time we perform. At this moment in time, though, I need to step away from performing live in order to preserve my mental and spiritual well-being and instead focus on myself and loved ones. I know this will come as a disappointment and with great inconvenience to many people who bought tickets and made travel plans, and for this, I sincerely apologize. I look forward to returning to the stage with the enthusiasm, joy, and renewed sense of inspiration that our fans deserve and that I require of myself when we play live. Thank you and God bless it, Diener. And I would say this was kind of a shock because, of course, the listeners might know that Ween originally broke up because there was tensions between the two main Ween guys, Gene Ween and Dean Ween. At the time, Gene Ween had a really bad drug issue, and he was kind of freaking out. And actually, if the listeners you might remember, I believe it was the very last Ween show before they broke up. Like Gene Ween, like freaked out on stage and was like rolling around or something. And then the band broke up not that long afterwards. Gene Ween got clean and he wrote an entire album about being frustrated with the Ween guys, being frustrated with the Ween fans, and having a drug problem. That album is called Freeman, although actually there's a very limited CD EP and digital release before that called like Gene Ween's Last Recordings. But the album that really talks about it is Freeman by Gene Ween. And so it's kind of interesting is because it seemed like Gene Ween was I guess on the straight and narrow if you were, and there were some things going around that maybe Gene was being unduly harsh towards Dean and the rest of Ween, and that he was maybe being maybe too orthodox in his lifestyle choices. Whereas Dean Ween seemed to be kind of a Keith Richards type figure that was going, or Lemmy type figure, where he's going to party forever and rock forever and never really suffer any ill consequences from that. I mean, it had been that way since from 1980, what, three till now, and now we get this message. I think Sam and them, I think we all have to agree that we're talking about rehab here or some rehab type situation, right?
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah, it's leaning that
So
way.
the question is will that affect Ween or will still Ween be Ween? Because so many of Ween's lyrics are about drugs, and a lot of the drug songs are how drugs are great, not that drugs are bad. You know, I mean, ironically, I'm trying like Leftover Crack. Most of the drug songs are about how drugs are bad, or how drugs are bad, but some people have to use them to cope just to exist, but drugs are bad. Or even like Motorhead, a lot of songs about drugs are bad. Johnny Cash, a lot of songs of drugs are bad. Whereas Ween's got some drugs are bad songs, but it's got some songs drugs are great. Namely Bananas and Blow, or namely, was it? What's the song? Roses Are Free, or yeah, Roses Are Free, and some other songs, lots of other songs as well. So I was very surprised by this. The question is, will it affect Ween? Will still Ween be Ween? And are you maybe let down that Dean Ween, the ultimate party guy that was able to withstand it, like Keith Richards, like Lemmy, is now having to get sober, presumably. Actually Sam, I know you care a great deal about Ween. I know it's one of your favorite bands.
You're
What's
so
your
funny.
perspective here?
Well, so here's the thing. If he could separate the fact that the lyrics, right? Because lyrics, like when you're writing songs, lyrics do become very personal to people. It becomes personal to just listeners. Like I take a lot of like the punk bands I listen to, and I'm like, almost take them to heart. Maybe even get them tattooed on me type of nonsense, right? But if, in this time that, they're they're stepping back and, you know, trying to get better or whatever, can separate those feelings or from, like, you know, from the lyrics and just kind of like do it almost like a job. Because, like, I'm sure there's tons of people out there, right, that play songs that doesn't want to play the hits anymore, but do it because the fans want it, right? So I think if anything, this might create maybe a more diverse set list of other songs that, like, they might not play more often, or maybe this might, like, you know, lead to a new album of not drunken songs or not party songs, you know, take a different turn. And they can potentially tour with that, and then, like, you know, whatever songs that he's comfortable playing that are, you know, the hits or whatever, then they'll throw in. I would have to say, if you are a fan of Ween and you do have tickets to these things, or it's a cancellation, so they're probably going to get their money back. Yeah, I think that's what cancellations are, right? So, like, if you do buy tickets to go see Ween, I do th would have to say you should probably buy tickets knowing that it's not going to be the same as it usually has been, if that makes any sense. Or come with the lower expectations of hearing all of the hits that you want to hear. Because, you know, sometimes when you buy tickets, like, you know, you're like, oh, I want to hear my favorite song, right? And then you're royally, like, you know, crushed when, like, they don't do it, you know. I think that's what's going to need to happen for this band to progress. Em, what is your take?
Yeah, I agree with you with a lot of that for sure. Because there's so many like
Variables.
yeah, exactly. Like there's so many moving parts. Where there's it's just so many different things, and especially with like songs that are about drugs, sometimes they're not explicitly about drugs, you know, like they're very like the lyrics are very abstract, so that's that can be easier to like take them and put them have attached different meaning to them instead of just like I guess here be drugs. But yeah, like I hope if he is going to rehab, which it kind of sounds like he is, you know, like hope he's successful and everything goes well and all is good that way. And they'll find a way to continue, I think. John, what are your thoughts?
I think, I mean, yeah, I definitely hope Dean Ween gets well. I don't think it's, I think Ween Live is not going to affect him that much, but I think it will be kind of a interesting vibe in that, like, so many Ween fans love getting high and are high and are obnoxious and get high after the show. What's it like when the main people in the band are sober, but the fans all love getting high about your songs about getting high, you know? An interesting standpoint. But honestly, I think there might be maybe a slight change in vibe or something like that. But I don't think it's going to be any major shift in Ween. I think Ween's going to keep doing the festival thing and not releasing new material. Although possibly it might be the kickoff for them to do new material. But I kind of feel that like that, and I don't know this, but I feel like Dean and Gene kind of don't really get along at all at this point. But maybe it'll be the jump off to get them working on new material again. Who knows? Who's to say? But yeah, so I was shocked, but I hope Dean improves whatever he needs to improve in his life. Because actually, I'll tell a fun story. Actually, I'll tell well, a couple fun stories. Is I don't know where Dean for the longest time he lived in New Hope, PA, which is where Ween's from originally. And there's a bar called John and Peter's, and every Wednesday they do call the John and Peter Invitational. And you could go see all of Ween except Gene Ween and some other people like play like 3 hour cover sets. They cover like Rolling Stones, Grateful Dead, Bob Marley, David Bowie, all that kind of stuff. Until recently, Gene Ween would be there too. So you could literally go see like basically a 3 hour Ween set essentially for like free. And I actually never I th when they were doing it with Dean Ween, I was in Harrisburg. I always wanted to make it up, and I never did make it up. And I really wish I did. They're still doing the Invitational, but I think Dean isn't. I don't even know if Dean lives in New Hope anymore. However, though, about 6 or 7 years ago, they were doing a Ween art exhibit, sort of in kind of this vintage gallery where you could actually go buy vintage Ween stuff. And had I known how crazy the record industry would have, not record industry, the record boom would have been, I would have bought every single super expensive Ween item they had there because I could have sold them for 10 times over now. But who's to say? But anyway, so I went there, and so I go there, and it was like the closing day, and I made a mistake, and I got there like 20 minutes before it was closing, and I thought it was like 2 hours, 20 minutes, but it was like 20 minutes before it was closing. And I walk outside, and Dean Ween is sitting there with his guitar, like on a stool, and there's like five knuckleheads. Like just talking to him, and he's like playing a song, and then like he asks. I mean, he answers like they were like super Ween fanboys. I'm definitely a Ween fan, but I'm not like a super fanboy. And these guys are like ultra fanboys, and they're like just asking him all these questions, and he's just being like a really chill guy, not a rock. I mean, Ween are rock stars. They're not, they're not Billy Joel level or whatever. But I mean, they make a lot of money. They sell a lot of tickets. And I've seen bands that are way smaller than Ween be way more rock star and dicks than Dean Ween, but he was just being like a super chill guy, just hanging out, answering any question these guys had about Ween for like 2 hours, and they were like, "Oh, can you play? Can you play? Can you Buenos Tardes Amigos?" And he would play Buenos Tardes Amigos like just outside of this store or gallery or whatever, and it was just a really cool, interesting, fun moment, and he seemed like a nice guy. So that's my Ween story. I've seen it twice. They're good. They're great. They're awesome live, actually. I didn't like it
You
the first time I
sound
saw
like
them.
a super fan. Yes.
I actually hated them the first time I saw them because I didn't understand it at all. And I got sent. It was actually one of my first writing assignments ever. I got sent by a Ridgivation magazine to cover some festival in Asbury Park, and it like this magazine just did not have to get. Because at the time I felt crazy anyway, but I don't know why I felt pressure. And so I go in, I remember I interviewed this band called Franz Schubert, and they had a song called Rocktopus, and they were actually kind of interesting. They were band nerds but nice guys, and we did an interview. Then I went to Plea from a Cat Named Virtue, Weaker Than's. I was supposed to have an interview set up with them, and no one had any idea what I was talking about. And then I remember the main guy, whatever his name was, he's like, "Oh yeah." And honestly, you can't blame him because he wasn't aware. He's like, "Oh yeah, we'll do it after the set." And then he just disappeared. But you can't blame him because no one told him he was to do an interview. And
Wait,
then I
you mean
saw
John K.
Ween.
Sampson?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then I saw Ween, and I didn't like it at all because it sounded calm and kind of boring. And this is years before I became a Ween fan. And sure enough, like 8 years later, I became a Ween fan. And then I finally got to see them live, and they were freaking awesome live. Also, I've seen Dean Ween Group live. They were awesome. And I've seen Gene Ween Group live twice. One time doing all Billy Joel, one time doing Freeman stuff, and they were awesome. So just an awesome band. So I don't know. I'm just kind of rambling. I'm talking about my Ween experiences. I'll point out that many people are Ween fans that you wouldn't think would be Ween fans. For example, former Punk News podcast host Hallie Bullet, huge Ween fan.
Really? That's
Really?
really that makes
cool.
sense. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So I've been trying to find my Mikey Erg thing. I can't find it, but I did find the original petition. So I'm just going to read it. And then
Okay.
if Sam or Em, you guys want to mention anything, or we'll wrap it up. Dear Against Me, we understand that you are currently without a drummer. We also understand that certain pressures occur within a band, which sometimes leads to the departure of members. While we are sure that Against Me is moving forward towards exciting and challenging new musical directions, the drummer is both the backbone and the sinews of a band. Thus, without a competent drummer, a band may lack a certain je ne sais quoi, no matter how strong its brain and heart may be. Therefore, we would like to issue this enthusiastic and hearty recommendation that you select Mike Yerga as your newest drummer. Mike Yerga is qualified for multiple reasons. Mr. Erg is qualified for multiple reasons. Number one, competence. Certainly against me has many different styles and sounds within its avoir dupois. Likewise, Mr. Erg has any number of styles which he employs should the occasion request. He has drummed for notable pop punkers, the Ergs. He has drummed for modern crush legend star effing hipsters. He has drummed for the so-called orcore band of Slow Death, and has even drummed for his own thrash metal project, Fusifer. Number two, taste. A great drummer is not necessarily a good drummer. John Bonham may be a legend, but behind the kit, John Bonham may be a legend behind the kit, but place him alongside Leonard Cohen and the septuagenarian's depth of feeling is soon made shallow by showboating and crude boom baps. By contrast, Mr. Erg has the skill, sense, and style to fit his drumming within the needs of a song, propelling it or reining it in as necessary, but never overpowering the music up front. Such skill is rare, and musicians with such talent can be counted on one hand with room left for a tasteful ring. The list is short but sinfully sweet. Charlie Watts, Sly Dunbar, Gene Krupa, Mikey Erg. Number three, loyalty. Often when a new member is introduced to a band, sycophantic journalists will compliment the new guy in hopes to dig up the dirt of the more established members. Indeed, Mr. Erg himself was confronted with such a Trojan horse when he became a member of the aforementioned SFH. As this video clearly shows, Mr. Erg fended off dirt-seeking questions with grace, honesty, and class, all without tendering any harmful information about his fellow musicians. Number four, style. Certainly Against Me is a good-looking band and issues a certain flair to the audiences through its clothing choices. Without question, a band needs a drummer that can add to a group's collective clothing overall, simultaneously not stealing the spotlight nor being the Ringo of the group, if you will. Let us not forget that even Crass had a look. Mr. Erg has an excellent fashion sense. He often wears tasteful but noticeable thick-rimmed glasses. His complexion is thus highlighted by his modern but simple Caesar cut, as well as his nouveau punk black t-shirt and simple jeans. Surely such a look would fit nicely on a two-page spread, placed tastefully between the basses and guitars, some 4 feet removed from the spotlight. As you can see, Mr. Erg is a top-notch candidate for your current drumming position. He receives our full endorsement, and we formally request that you select him as your new drummer.
Very convincing.
I remember in the letter I sent to Largie and Grace, I remember I put some kind of fact in, and then I put an asterisk, and the asterisk was fact, not actual. So anyways, that is our Mikey Erg adventure. We did it, gang. We did it.
This is the most John G write-up like ever. Oh my God.
And I'm mad that Largie and Grace had some people instead of punk news. But whatever. I don't hold grudges. Whatever.
She could have just said John G.
Well, I didn't want a John G. I wanted a punk news, or a punk news started some wacky petition. That's what I wanted. But listen, you don't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you get what you need. And what we need is Mikey Erg drumming for Against Me. And we got it. So there you go.
Success.
Years later.
10 years later. I'm sad that it's been 8 years since an Against Me record. I'm really surprised by that.
Yeah, that checks out. Sounds about right. Yep.
Sam, when Against Me was at their height with Transgender Dysphoria Blues, were you at that Lancaster show that everyone was at where they did the record? Well, not, it was a record release show. One of the record releases was Transgender Dysphoria Blues. Were you at that out in the Chameleon Club? I remember Yancey was there. Jen Gray was there. I think Brittany Strummer was there. Were you there?
No. That was definitely, I was not traveling to Lancaster for that.
Britt Reiser was there, I remember. And someone else was there. Anyways, Days of Future Past, if you will. The world keeps turning, Sam. And then.
Yeah. And then we're turning. Still here. We're still here.
We're still here.
Hell yeah.
I don't know how, but we are. And now we have M.
Hey,
M makes us better.
That's true. That's definitely thanks. True. And on that note, M is going to come to the next. Well, of course. On that note, M's going to come down to the next record, Freak Out, and the Ramones Mania with Joe Jack Talcum and Dan of Dead Milkmen, backed by Marshall Fisher doing all Ramones, Mikey Erg doing all Ramones. And maybe he'll blow me off again like he did last night. But, you know, I won't be mad. And Troggy. And the Ramones. So anyway, Em and Sam, any closing words for the listeners? You can always reach our podcast at punknews.org. We love getting your emails. Em or Sam, any closing words for the listeners?
Don't be assholes out there in the pit. Please pick people up if they fall. Thank you.
Yes, I second that. And also, I'm very excited to see Laura Jane Grace and the Ergs at Pooza.
Wait, why
I
do
will
I
say,
sound like a punk mom?
what do you mean?
Like, I'm always giving weird advice. Oh boy.
People need weird advice, though.
I know. I'm such a mom. It's without kids. It's fine.
I'm gonna add one last thing is I was at a show recently. I'm not gonna say what show, and I gotta say the people in the audience were actually like super obnoxious, and I'm like,
Oh
none of you,
no.
none, no one here has ever been to Slayer in 1997, and I know that because if you're obnoxious in the pit in Slayer in 1997, you are gonna get the shit kicked out of you by three roided out neo-Nazis. And not that roided out neo-Nazis are good, they're bad, and you should not be roided out neo-Nazis. But I guess the silver lining of that cloud was is that people learned their manners. And when you went to Slayer in 1997, you didn't F around. You know what I mean? You either like were cool, or if you thought you were the biggest and the baddest, then you did rumble and you got your tongue bitten off, or your arm broken, or maybe you beat the shit out of somebody because you actually were the baddest out of 20,000 people. That being said, I could tell people these days in the pit weren't at Slayer in 1997 because they acted like jackasses. And they didn't learn their manners like I did in Slayer 1997. Anyways, we'll see you next week. Go see Slayer 1997. Don't be a neo-Nazi. Don't support Trump. Punk rock forever. Yeah. Let's do it, baby.